world often dominated by bad news, our aim is to be a place where the emphasis is placed on good news. And as no doubt you know, the very word gospel means just that, good news. The past 2 weeks, we've benefited from talks given by Mr. John Baker. Those of you with very good memories may recall that prior to John's visits, we had a series here of 10 talks on the character of God, and we covered several of the key aspects of God's character. His wisdom, his knowledge, his power, his presence, his holiness, his righteousness, his goodness, his love, his changelessness, and his faithfulness. But there was one aspect of his character which we did not have time to mention. An aspect of his character which figures quite largely in the gospel, in the good news of which the booklet spoke. And I am referring to God's kindness. It's a sad fact that in our modern self-centered dog-eat-dog society, the kindness has had to take very much a back seat. And yet the New Testament makes it abundantly clear that Christians are meant to be kind. For example, Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Colossae in Asia Minor, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Bearing with one another, he said, and forgiving one another, if anyone have a grievance against another. Even as the Lord forgave you, so also you must do. Clothe yourself with kindness. And without wanting to be technical, the Greek word used there and elsewhere in the New Testament for kindness, it sounds almost the same as the Greek word for Christian. Something which is true also of the equivalent Latin words. And one Christian author, writing about 200 AD from Carthage in North Africa, he noted that many non-Christians of his day confused the two words, and thereby they gave to believers a name which described them as people marked by kindness, which was indeed what they should have been, and many were, and what all who are Christians today should be. But this morning I want to focus not on the kindness which should characterize all Christians, but on the kindness which does characterize God himself. I'm going to limit myself to just two quotations taken from the letters of the Apostle Paul. In the first, Paul spoke of God showing the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And in the second, he wrote, when the kindness and the love of God our Saviour toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared, of course, in his sending his Son, our Lord Jesus, to suffer, to die for us. Out of kindness, Paul is telling us, that God took the initiative that he might save men and women, not because of anything which they do, but because of that which the Lord Jesus did. It's there, in the supreme kindness toward man that God showed, at the cross of the Lord Jesus, that he demonstrated the exceeding riches of his grace. I read some time ago a story told by a famous American evangelist about a group of tourists visiting a picturesque village who walked by an old man sitting beside a fence. In a rather patronizing way, one tourist asked, "Were there any great men born in this village?" The old man replied, "Nope, only babies." Well, the date today is the 17th of August, and I'm going to tell you of a baby born exactly 250 years ago today. and that in a very small village of Paulusbury, some 12 miles from Northampton. The whole parish, which includes two other villages, numbers only around 1,000 inhabitants even today. But on the 17th of August, 1761, a baby boy was born to Edmund and Elizabeth Carey. Now that Edmund Carey being a weaver by trade, but his son, William by name, became one of the greatest Christian missionaries to have ever lived. Last week, this time, Linda and I were on holiday with our son James, wife Alex, and our grandson Nathaniel, who has visited us here, you may recall, once or twice. Not long ago, James and his family spent a year in India, where James taught mathematics in a Christian school in a place called Uttarakhand, high up in the mountains. And it was to India that William Carey went, the age of 32, some 15 years after his conversion to Christ. He arrived with his wife, four young sons, his wife's sister, and a fellow missionary at Calcutta in November 1793. Mr. Carey never saw England again. He remained in India until his death there 40 years later. And during his time there, he established a medical mission, a leper hospital, and 45 schools. He founded both the Agricultural and Horticultural Society of India and a college to train indigenous Christian leaders, which college continues to this very minute. But by far his greatest contribution to the spread of the Christian gospel lay in the field of Bible translation. Mr. Carey was an extremely capable linguist and scholar, and he personally translated the Bible into 7 different languages, apart from which he and his immediate fellow workers supervised the translation of the New Testament into no less than 23 other languages, thereby making God's word accessible for the first time to 1/3 of the world population of his day. Before his death, the printing press which he built issued over 213,000 copies of the scriptures in 40 different languages. And it's been said, and I have no reason to doubt the fact, that William Carey was responsible for producing more translations of the Bible than had been accomplished in all of the previous 17 Christian centuries combined. It was a colossal achievement. And yet, for all this, Mr. Carey was a most humble and self-effacing man. Toward the close of his life, when very ill, he received a visit from a young missionary who spoke much to him about his, that's Mr. Carey's, work. When the young missionary rose to leave, Mr. Carey said quietly, "Mr. Dove, you have been speaking about Dr. Carey, Dr. Carey. When I am gone, say nothing about Dr. Carey. Speak about Dr. Carey's Savior." But what, you might be wondering, has all this to do with the kindness of God? Simply this, that in his last will and testament, Mr. Carey left the following instructions to the executors of that will. "I direct that my funeral be as plain as possible, and that the following inscription and nothing more may be cut on the stone. William Carey, born 17 August 1761, died whenever, a wretched, poor, and helpless worm, on thy kind arms I fall." A block of marble carrying those words, amended only by the addition of the date of his death, which was the 9th of June, 1834, that block of marble still marks the spot where Mr. Carey's body was laid when he went to be with Christ at the age of 72. And his chosen epitaph, "A wretched, poor, and helpless worm, on thy kind arms I fall," that was taken from a verse of a hymn written by Isaac Watts a century before. Kind arms, indeed, because they are the arms of the God, who, as we noted just now, has shown the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Well, I began by quoting from the short booklet about the good news centre in Newent. And I close with another quote from there. We must choose. We can go on doing our best, or we can thank God for what Jesus has done, renounce our past, and receive by faith the gift of new life from him. Every one of us here today has that choice to make for himself or herself, doing our best, doing, or trusting in that which the Lord Jesus did for us at his cross. Shall we pray? We give